Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. This morning we're going to be carrying on in Genesis, talking about evangelism, our second week in. And we were talking about prophecy, and when we know the days that we're living in, evangelism becomes just that much more important, more urgent upon us. And as we're living in the last days. And so this morning, we want to talk about Noah. And you can throw up that first picture there, Tier, if you want. Yeah. And we're going to talk about Noah. And Noah, and in case you didn't know, he was the very first evangelist that was mentioned in the Bible. Very first. He preached and warned his generation, 2 Timothy 2:5. So, or 2 Peter 2:5, sorry. So, but a couple of years ago, my wife and I, how many of you have been down to the Ark in Kentucky and the Creation Museum down there? How many of you have been down there? Okay, not very many. I don't see any hands. So, but yeah, there's the Creation Museum, the Ark that Noah. So kids, you just talked about Jesus being the salvation. There is a replica as close as they can come to of Noah's Ark. And it's life-size down there in Kentucky, Dry Ridge, Kentucky. And it's an amazing walkthrough. You can see the size of that ship. It was huge. It's still one of the biggest wooden ship structures that's ever been built in the world today. So it's amazing to go through that. Let's just go on to the next one, Tier, and we'll go through the slides for the kids and everybody. There's thousands of people that go through that every day. And there is the story of creation and the story of salvation, God's salvation to the people. So, oh, really? Okay, yeah. All right, well, that's okay. We can wait for the computer to get unfrozen meantime, and we'll go through the pictures a little bit later. There we go. Yep. Okay, so there. Hey, kids, do you think that God, Noah, took dinosaurs on the ark? What do you think? How many think Noah took dinosaurs on the ark? Yeah, he definitely could have, you know, definitely could have. But would they have been full-grown dinosaurs? Probably not. They would have been little dinosaurs, the young ones growing up. Yeah, so they could fit. But one thing for certain, you know, the Bible tells us as we read through the text here shortly, we'll see that we understand that God brought the animals to Noah. Noah didn't go out to get them. They came to him. So whatever God wanted to save, it came to the ark. Yeah. So so that is, still having trouble, eh? Yeah. Well, there we go. There's another dinosaur. Yeah, you can go on to the next picture, Tiara. And, oh, there we are there. Okay, so we're inside the ark now, and we can see how big it is. Yeah, just go on to the next one. Oh, there's a big bear. Bears look a little different there. So you can see inside the ark how big it is. Let's just hold there for a second. There's lots of room inside that ship. Lots of room for many more what? People. I heard somebody say people, yes. Because remember, Noah preached and he warned his generation. So there was room for many more people to get on board that ark. But as the Bible account tells us, only 8 people got on board. Nobody else would believe the message that Noah was saying to the people, that God was bringing judgment upon them. Let's go on to the next one. And there, that's just how God said to build to store up food, make sure you take enough food and everything on board for all the animals and yourselves on board the ship so we can move on, Tiara. And there's some more cages. Of course, the smaller animals would be a little more organized to lock them up in cages and keep them confined, you know, for the trip. So next, yeah. And there's a bigger picture next of the big ship, yeah. You can see the structure, the sail at the end to keep it pointed into the wind so that it was always breaking the waves head on instead of sideways. Would have been a much better ride. How many of you ever been in a boat when you're hitting the waves sideways? It's just like, whoa. Yeah. So let's move on. Is there any more there? Okay. That's fine. Good. So there's that huge testimony down in the States. And, you know, thousands of people go through that every day and hear the story of Noah. The story of Noah is the story of a person, even though everyone else around him turned away from God, he remained faithful. And he remained faithful to obey his word and to warn others and to invite them to be saved. The story of not one, but two big floods. A flood of evil and a flood of judgment on the world in Noah's day. And in Noah's day, we understand that it was flooded with evil. And God would judge the world with a flood of water that would destroy everything except for those who chose to be saved. Noah's ark and the flood teaches us two things about the attitude of God. Number one, he is angry with sin and will punish it one day. You know, and that's a harsh reality as we think about the flood. God punished sin, the sin of the people in that day, and he's going to do it again because our world is becoming much like in the days of Noah. And number two, he loves us and sends us a way of salvation if we will repent and turn to him in obedience. That's the story. Two things. And the ark was a sign of God's love for us, giving the people of Noah's generation an opportunity to be saved. Get on the boat. You can be saved. The time is running out. So let's just read the biblical account. I'm going to start at chapter 6 in Genesis, verse 5. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart, and the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at that time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood, and we read that is 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. That's a football field in length. And leave an 18-inch hole at or opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side, one door, we'll talk about that later, and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes, everything on earth will die. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird, animal, and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the boat with all your family, for among all the people on the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous. Take with you 7 pairs, male and female, of each animal I have approved for eating and for sacrifice, and take 1 pair of each of the others. Also take 7 pairs of every kind of bird. There must be a male and female in each pair to ensure that all life will survive on the earth after the flood. 7 days from now, I will make the rains pour down on the earth, and I will rain it, and it will rain for 40 days and 40 nights until I have wiped from the earth all the living things I have created." So Noah did everything as the Lord commanded him. And he was 600 years old when the flood covered the earth. He went on board the boat to escape the flood, and he and his wife and his sons and their wives with them were all the various animals and those approved for eating and for sacrifice and those that were not, along with all the birds and small animals that scurry along the ground, they entered the boat in pairs, male and female, just as God had commanded Noah. After 7 days, the waters of the flood came and covered the earth. When Noah was 600 years old, on the 17th day of the second month, all the underground waters erupted from the earth, and the rain fell in mighty torrents from the sky. The rain continued to fall for 40 days and 40 nights, and that very day, Noah had gone into the boat with his wife and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. With them in the boat were pairs of every kind of animal, domestic and wild, large and small, along with birds of every kind. Two by two, they came into the boat, representing every living thing that breathes. A male and female of each kind entered, just as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord closed the door behind them. Time ran out. Took 7 days to load up the ark, and then the Lord closed the door behind them. Time had run out for that generation to repent and be saved. So one of the things we see about Noah, the story of Noah, is a story of a person of faith, number one. He's God's man. And God's eye was on Noah. It says that Noah found favor with God in chapter 6, verse 8. And in 6:9 and 7:1, God declared Noah righteous. He believed God and he obeyed him. Hebrews 11:7 says, "It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith." It's interesting to understand the judgment of God, but it's interesting to understand the grace of God also, too. That God said back in Genesis 6:3, he said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever. Their days will be numbered to 120 years. So God was saying there that I'm going to give them another 120 years to repent and to be saved. And then the door is going to shut. The grace of God, that even as wicked as the world was, and it broke God's heart, and Noah was living around it all the time, it was difficult. But God said another 120 years that we're going to give this generation to get right, to come to the Lord, to come to me, and to repent. So how many of you think Noah got to be a righteous man by himself? You know, nobody. No, we need help in that, don't we? You know, if we go back to, it's really, this is an interesting story. If we go back to 425, how many of you remember the story of Cain and Abel? So, Cain did what to Abel? He killed him, yes. And, you know, Cain basically he never had the right heart for God. He never had a heart for God. He brought a sacrifice, and it was kind of like out of a poor attitude. Cain's heart wasn't in it. Cain says, I'm going to bring a sacrifice, but I'm going to do it my way. And Abel brought a sacrifice, and he brought the blood sacrifice that God required for the forgiveness of sin. Abel was a man whose heart was set upon God. Cain was not, his heart was not set upon God. He was religious. He brought a sacrifice, but he was not, his religion never went to his heart. He was not out for God. And we see that God warned Cain. He said, Cain, why are you downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, and you must master it. So Cain basically heard it, but never heard it. And basically Cain walked away from the Lord, and out of jealousy for his brother, he took him out in the field and he killed him. And what we see developing from that is two lines of people out of Genesis. We see the line of Cain, and we see later on Seth is born to replace Abel. And this is what the Bible says about Seth. Adam had sexual relations with his wife. This is in 425 again. And she gave birth to another son. She named him Seth. For she said, the Lord has granted me another son in place of Abel, whom Cain killed. When Seth grew up, he had a son and named him Enosh. And at that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. So here we have it. We have the righteous line developing now, and we have the believers, and we have the unbelievers way back there at Cain and Seth. The Canaanites developed from Cain, and they were the unbelievers of the world. They were the people that walked away from God. They didn't want to do what God says. They had a religion of sorts, but their heart wasn't in it. And we have a lot of people today like that, don't we? We have a lot of people today, and you know, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to have a religion, but in our head, all the knowledge, we come to church, we do all the things, but it's not in our heart. It hasn't gone from our head to our heart, and that's where it needs to be today. That's what God is looking for in us, is that we have a full heart for Him. And so we have this here, righteous line developing. And this is the written account of the descendants of Adam. When God created human beings, He made them to be like Himself. He created them male and female, and He blessed them and called them human. So we have Adam. If you have your chapter 5 open there, you have Adam goes down to Seth, and God is recording the righteous line of people that were coming up. That were coming up through the Bible. We hear about Cain's line, but it's just a very short record. God wants us to see the righteous line here that's coming up. So then we have Seth, so we have Enosh, then Kenan, and Mahalalel. Then we have Jared and Enoch, which was Noah's great-grandfather. And Enoch was the one that walked with God. And then we have Methuselah, which is Noah's grandfather, and Lamech, his next, which is Noah's father, and then we have Noah. So we have a wonderful influence that Noah had as he grew up. He could go back. Adam wasn't alive when Noah was born, but Methuselah was. So it's interesting to understand that as people lived to be 900 years old or more in the Old Testament, that there would have been, Adam, Methuselah would have spanned the timeline right up to the flood. And so the stories were fresh. They could give the accounts of creation. They could tell people. They could testify of God's goodness, His greatness. They were faithful to pass along the biblical stories. And that's, parents today, I just want to encourage you in that. As we see these things, that it's so important that we continue to pass on the stories of the Bible. He had wonderful influences from his father, his grandfather, Methuselah. The testimonies were so fresh. He could go and ask and get the story almost firsthand. It was amazing. So, as we think about these old guys, these people that lived to be a long time, like the first 2,000 years of history were actually spanned by three men, Adam, Methuselah, and Noah. Noah went right into the new world 350 years, and almost right up to Abraham's time, almost. Abraham's dad was alive for about 56 years when Noah died. So the accounts were still fresh. It's amazing to understand how this all works out in the Old Testament, that there's a wonderful testimony. And as parents, I remember my parents took me to church. My parents had a religion, but they really didn't know the Lord until later in their lives, but they thought that going to church was part of being able to go to heaven. And they realized later that no, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of going to heaven. And they got saved when they were in their 70s. And but they took us kids to church. And you parents that are raising up your kids today, it's so important that you pass along and they hear the Word of God taught in the home, and that we teach them how to pray for an example, that we teach our children to live righteously by example. Our greatest mission field, parents, is our kids. That's a huge mission field. Our grandkids, great-grandkids. Teaching them about sin and God's remedy in His rescue plan. Number two, Noah had a remarkable journey. So, the story of Noah, you think about Noah, and this journey he went on was amazing. I don't think anybody in the Bible went on such a journey as Noah did. Wow. Yeah. To go to see, to be in a part of the pre-flood world, be a part of the new world, to get on the ark and see this God's judgment. Oh, yeah, it's just, his journey was amazing. He's seen so much. And when we walk with God, challenge to you that, and to me, to us, that we can expect a remarkable journey. Because the Bible says that Noah walked with God. And Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So I can say that from experience now. I'm nearly 65, been a Christian for 40 years. I'm so thankful to the Lord today for the journey that He's taken me on. It's been some ups and some pretty bad downs too, but it's all been good. And I look back and I say, thank you, Lord, for the journey and what He's done in my life. Looking back, it's so good. The Lord is good. And by faith, Noah believed God, and he set to work in obedience to build the ark to save his family from God's judgment on the earth. The ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sitting there out in that, he probably built that boat right in the middle of a bunch of trees that he was going to use for it, probably. And out in the middle of, there was no water around, and everybody would come along and say, what are you doing, Noah? And that ark was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's our salvation, our way to escape. Judgment is coming. God is calling us to be saved. And I hope this morning that you are saved. You've gone all the way from you're not just coming to church just because you think you feel good or because you think that's the way you're going to get to heaven, because it's not. We need to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And these guys in the Old Testament, God already, like I shared last Sunday, God already shared there was somebody coming that was going to fix the problem. And that was Jesus Christ on the cross, died for our sin. And these, Noah and all the patriarchs knew that. They were passing that along. We can trust in the Savior, in the coming Savior. So we can be saved there. And number three, he had a faithful testimony. Noah obeyed and built the ark, and God, Noah faced the same circumstances that we face today. Only probably way, I just thinking he would have been way more intense. Because, you know, people would be coming at him and they'd be hearing about this ark, it's this boat that's being built from all over the known world at that time. People would say, let's go see this. This is crazy. Let's see what this guy is doing. And Noah could share his testimonies and tell the people that God told him to build a boat because judgment is coming. And if you want to escape judgment, get on the boat. Repent of your sins and get on the boat, and you'll escape. So that was his message. So in 24:36, it says, Jesus talks about this, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. That's when Jesus is coming back. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until a flood came and swept them all away. And that is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. So, you know, we're going on and we're busy in our lives and we're doing our thing, but we have to be careful that we are involved in kingdom work, God's kingdom work. So yeah, Noah was a preacher. And he gave both a warning and as well as a means of salvation. And that's our message today, isn't it? We warn people. They say, the Lord Jesus is coming back. And he's going to judge the world. He's going to judge sin. And we need to share that warning with people. And we need to share with them also, too, the means of salvation. And Noah knew about that, the coming Savior. But his present salvation was the ark. Yeah. Okay, so in the presence of the spiritual and moral darkness of Noah's time, God had a witness. His remnant of people who were a testimony of the truth. There was corruption and violence all around, yet Noah was faithful to testify. It sounds like today, doesn't it? Jesus said, much like in the day of Noah, God has never been without his witness throughout history. It's amazing as you study the scriptures and realize that God has been faithful to every generation to tell them about their need to be saved for salvation. There won't be any excuses on the day of judgment. Because God has told everybody, he's been faithful. He was faithful then, he's faithful now. And we are the church, aren't we? Today he has his testimony, and it is his church. We're the church, his people. And we give testimony. We are the church. We need your power in us. Yeah. You and I, the church, are his witness today. We are preachers of righteousness in our generation, how we live, what we say. But we say, I'm not a preacher. So we say that, and you know what? It makes me nervous too. But I think of Noah, you know, think of Noah. Says he was a preacher in his generation. How did he preach? Well, that ark said a whole lot about what was coming. You know, his life said a whole lot. What he was doing, Noah preached. So he was a faithful testimony, and we do that too. We tell people about our love for God and the renewed fellowship and relationship we have with the Lord by the way we live. Yeah. So just in closing, I want to give you five things, won't take too long, that we need to do in our lives to share the gospel. So, number one, live righteously. You know, Noah believed God in everything he said, and he did it. Do we believe God's word and honor him by living the way he calls us to? Obeying him? Or do we live contrary, knowing full well that it is against God's word? What are we doing today? Are we calling ourselves a Christian, but we're living a totally another way? We can't do that. We have to live the way that God has commanded us to live in his word. So, you know, we need to live righteously. We live to walk with God, and the Bible says Noah walked with God, which means you are in harmony with God. You reflect God in what you think, what you say, and what you do. And that sometimes, you know, we'll start thinking about that. That's a big challenge, isn't it? But no, it's just being a person of the Word of God and in prayer. And to walk with God, we live our lives in the presence of God in fellowship with him. We follow his direction, walking in the path that he marks out, working towards the same ends, not trying to map out our own life's journey, but faithfully following his will for your life. That's what walking with God is. How many times I've thought this is, you know, in our lives we think, this is God's will. Yep, let's rip ahead and do her. Let's get her done. And we get surprised, and it was actually plan B, and we end up struggling and suffering, and it's difficult when we make bad decisions. But the Lord never leaves us. We're still, this is not, don't get me wrong. Let's be clear here. We're not talking about perfection, because we still make mistakes. We still sin. But Jesus' forgiveness is still there. Noah was not a perfect person. We are not perfect. We are a work in progress. But we can learn as we go how to walk with God and wait for him. Wait for him. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is wonderful for me. Trust in the Lord in all of your ways. So stop and trust and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Many are the plans in the heart of a man, but it is the Lord's plan that prevails. It's interesting, you know, that we see so much evil and sin in the world today, yet God is still accomplishing his plan right to a T, to perfection. That does not hold him up. And we can make mistakes, but we just need to go to God and ask him for forgiveness and cleansing and help us to go through them. It might be a little bit difficult because we've made a mistake, but we can still do it. We can still get through with God's help. Yeah. So we need to immerse ourselves in God's word and in prayer so that we know what the plan of God is for our life. Number two, Job talked about this a little while ago, compassion for others. Even people we don't like or are our enemies, we still need to have compassion for others. And a pastor in town shared wonderful testimony to me. He says, you know, we always have people that we don't really see eye to eye with, we don't get along with well. There's just something. He said, what I do is I pray for them every day. And he said, it's just wonderful. Yeah, I just pray for them every day. And it just releases that desire in us to be vengeful and spiteful and get back at them. We need compassion for the lost, for people. Even if they aren't, you know, or if they're our enemies, they need to know the Lord. God loves them. Number three, equip. What's your story? What's your story today? What has God done for you in the last year? What has he done for you in the last month? What has he done for you in the last week or the last day? You know, God is good. He's just doing things all the time for us. And we can share things with people as we interact with them. What God's been doing in our life. And we can have a smile on our face and we can tell people this wonderful Lord that we know and serve is wonderful. And take a few scriptures into your memory. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, if you know the saying with me, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are scriptures that we can just take to heart, and they're there available to us, and we can use them as we have a conversation with people. So, and then number four, look and listen. Look around you. Hey, who's God put around you? This isn't about going out right away and knocking on doors. This is about living our lives and, hey, wake up in the morning and be aware of who's around you. Who do you work with? Your family, your friends, your neighbors, what's going on? Hey, maybe we can minister into somebody's life today. Look and listen. Listen. You know, everybody thinks that, I can't share the Bible with anybody. I don't know much about the Bible. You know what? You can tell people, you know what? I don't have an answer for that, but I'll get one for you, okay? And we'll have another conversation down the road. No worries. Look and listen. Sometimes we just don't listen enough to be able to get down to the bottom of what people are really struggling with and really need in their lives. Look and listen. Yeah. We're seeking to have a conversation with people. We're not trying to do a presentation. So, number five, final one. Resources. Now, I brought them this morning. You can just take for yourself. You know what? When you're sharing the gospel with people, I find it, this is from the Gideons, and so helpful. Now, that book, that's the Gospel of John. Today, everybody's, they like to use the computer, the internet, and I talk to people, and I don't even read books anymore. that's kind of sad. But, you know, you give somebody a book like that, that's not very thick. They can read through the Gospel of John in like about half an hour maybe, and they might be in a place in their life and it's sitting on their desk, the book, this Bible that you gave them, and they'll pick it up and they'll read it through, and if you share the gospel and how they can be saved, they'll come to the end of it and they will see the plan of salvation in the back as they read it, and they'll say, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to surrender my life to Christ. And the Spark magazines, you guys, I was handing these out at Halloween this year. And you know what? What surprised me, the kids were, I would say, would you like a Spark magazine? And they were more excited about getting that than the candy. I was like, wow, yeah. It's just, every time I said, yeah, we want a Spark magazine, yeah. It was amazing. So next Halloween, come to me and I'll give you a bunch of Spark magazines and we can just hand them out to the kids, make sure they get one. And these Hope magazines, now that's pretty skinny. We can read through that pretty fast, eh? But it's got the Gospel of John and it's got all kinds of encouragement and it's got the way of salvation laid out for people. You know what? You never know what could happen when you lay a piece of literature or a Bible in people's hands today, where God's going to use it. And just when you do, pray for them. That's really the starting point of our ministry of evangelism, is who has God brought around us? Start praying for them. You know, it's not like, oh, I got to go out and give them the gospel, you know, just like, no, that's not what it is. We need to begin by praying for them and being a friend and get a conversation going. Ask a question. Don't start with, well, this is, you know, something that we want to say, but ask them a question, see where they're at. That's what we need to do. So those are the five things. I hope that you've been encouraged over the last while to become engaged, to become absolutely wonderfully excited about God and about his plan of salvation. When you see Noah, you know, I was going to talk about the door. God told Noah to put in the side of the ark a door, one door. And when the job was all done, God shut the door. And I just about wept when I heard that, when I read that verse. God shut the door. There is millions of people that are going to go to heaven, but there's millions more that are going to go to hell because they won't listen. They won't hear the gospel. They don't want anything to do with God, and they're going to spend eternity in hell. And that's what we need to do as God's people. Make sure they know the truth, and the truth will set them free. So let's share the gospel. Throughout history, God's call is to us too. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So when the truth of God's word goes from here to here, you will be saved. When you say, yes, Lord, I'm yours, all yours. I'm not just going to be going to church just for a religion, just because I feel good or anything like that. I want to be walking with you, Lord. I want to be forgiven of all of my sin. So that is what we rejoice in this morning and the wonderful message that we have. And so let's just be doing that. It's so exciting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to see Noah and the ark and this man, Lord, who just left such a legacy, testimony of faithfulness unto you, Father. And Lord, he went into even the new world and probably just shared the stories, the gospel with the people in the new world. And those stories were passed on for generations. Lord, we pray that as we go from here today, we will just have a new excitement, a new desire to share the gospel, to tell people, get saved, get on board, get on that boat and be saved. Get into the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Father, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.